Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Quinn Studer is our guest. He's a new friend. Quinn is a nationally acclaimed management educator and a coach for leaders. He helps companies put their best foot forward by getting them to work together. And he's written a book about the topic. He calls it Hardwiring Excellence, Purpose, Worthwhile Work, Making a Difference. Quint, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Nothing like having a little Richie Valens to get you up here this morning.
I'm glad you recognize that. That's a great song, isn't it?
Wonderful song.
Quint, it's good to have you here, and I'm glad you want to talk about what you want to talk about, because this is a very important topic. Folks, let me just get your attention this way. If you have employees, as a small business owner or any other kind of a business, and you'd like to keep them, the good ones, longer and ultimately wind up with a really fine-tuned organization, you want to hear what Quint has to say today. Quint, one of the things that I know and that I know that you talk about is that small business owners have more hats to wear than heads to put them on. That means that we not only have to have everybody working together in order to make those hats change back and forth properly, but we've got to have the right people under those hats. Tell us how we can do that.
I think there's a two ways, Jim, or much more than two ways, but when I got into this, I was a chief operating officer of probably a pretty large company, and I was put in charge of customer service.
How many employees in that company?
About 1,300.
Okay, that's pretty good size.
And basically what happened was, we started thinking how we're going to fix customer satisfaction, and we found out we couldn't fix it if we had too much turnover. Mm-hmm. So then we really started focusing in on...
Why did you make that determination? What was the thing that caused you to say that? With too much turnover, customer service suffers.
Well, basically what happened is we could measure our turnover or measure our satisfaction with an outside company, and we could just start looking and studying it and find out that in areas where we had less turnover, we had higher satisfaction. So we made the correlation that there's a direct link between employee retention, and of course that means employee selection and customer satisfaction, which we've even found now leads to, employee retention leads to better same-store business, same-store sales. It leads to less claims or less complaints, because a person that knows the rules, knows where things are, will just provide a lot better service to the customer.
Well, there's another element, too. Don't forget the role the customer plays in all this, because people, it's just like the Cheers song said, everybody likes to go where people know their names.
Absolutely. In fact, it's ironic, we had a salesperson or a person come out to fix something at our house last week, and we had, of course, lived through Hurricane Ivan. And when he saw my wife, he said, "You don't know how many times I worried about your house during the storm."
Wow.
But, that makes a connection.
Absolutely. And the next time you need whatever they sell, how compelling is that going to be?
Oh, absolutely. And that's what we have found over and over again. It's the retention. And there are certain ways you can keep employees. And, Jim, I'd like to give just a few quick suggestions.
Let's talk about some of those.
For a small business owner, it's even tougher than a large business owner, because a small business owner loses a few people. It's a bigger percentage of their employment base than a large employer.
That's right. So let's talk about some of the things you talk about helping your employees acquire what you call an attitude adjustment, or as a buddy of mine used to say, a double A.
Well, I think what we found is, this is trial and error by actually running a business. Then I became president of a large company, and it was so successful, I've gone out and written this book and helped other companies. We found when we were looking at what's right for the customer, we created what we call a standards team, and that was a group of employees, and we pick high-performing employees. The last thing you want to do is take a low performer and give them a special treat, which you see happen too often in businesses. You know, we think we're going to change somebody by rewarding them, and then we reward the low performer, which aggravates everybody.
Right.
But you take the high performers, and we basically got them together and said, we want to create a great place for customers. In order to do that, what behaviorally, you know, what standards do we want to all live by? And at first, you know, you're a little scared. You're thinking employees will be a little more lenient. They'll be a little more flexible. And the exact opposite is true. And we've done this to hundreds of companies, with hundreds of companies over the country. And we find that employees will actually sit down and create much tougher and much more specific standards than the managers would.
All right, let's talk. What kind of standards are you talking about?
Well, it could be something like you never point. You take people to where you're going. That seems to be just a huge one for customers. You know?
I went in a grocery store a while back, and I've told my audience about this. I was so impressed. I asked somebody where something was. She was walking in the other direction.
Mm-hmm.
No, she was behind the meat counter, mm-hmm. and I asked her a question. She came. She said, just a minute, I'll take you there. She came around the meat counter, took me by the arm and literally walked me, you know, six aisles to where it was and showed it to me.
It's huge.
Wow. I said, wow.
No, I remember I took over a business that wasn't doing well, and the thing that really hit me and how powerful that was about 3 months after I got there, I read a letter to the editor, and the person talked about how great the experience was, and their big comment was, and every time I went somewhere, they even walked me to where I was going.
Right.
That would be a typical standard. Another standard would be something like you follow through on handoffs. So when you hand over the person to another department, you just don't walk away. You then make sure that customer is absolutely fine.
Mm-hmm.
You don't drop the handoff. And then what happened, we found out, is the employees, as they started developing this, and this was in 1993 in the inner city of Chicago, said, well, you know, these standards are so good for customers. Why don't we put some in there that means how we treat each other? So next thing you know, they talked about commitment to coworker. So how do they treat each other? You know, we solve problems amongst ourselves before we run to the boss. And it turned out to be so successful, it also gave managers something to one train on. But then if there were problems with not following those standards, we had a legal description and a legal agreement with the employee that allowed us to address things that sometimes get unaddressed or they're considered soft issues.
So these are
attitude.
These are behavioral standards,
yes,
for dealing with each other,
yes,
for professional expectation, for,
yes,
dealing with customers.
Yes.
Wow, this is really important stuff, folks. And when we come back, we're going to get Quint to explain to us how to pull this off in our businesses. Quint Studer, ladies and gentlemen, the author of Hardwiring Excellence. It's 20 till. I'm sorry, 20 after the hour. I'm on the wrong side of the clock. 20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we'll be right back. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our new friend, Quint Studer. I said his name incorrectly a minute ago, folks. You know, turns out this is the one mistake I've made all year. I pronounced his name incorrectly. It's correctly pronounced Studer, and he's the author of Hardwiring Excellence. Quint, give us your website, please, and tell us where,
yes,
the book's available.
Yes, it's www.studer, StuderGroup.com.
All right, StuderGroup.com. What do we find when we get there?
Well, there's lots of articles specifically for supervising employees. Selection, probably one of our real expertise is selection. You know, I think hiring the right person is so important because it's,
yep,
so easier to be a little tougher on the hiring, because once somebody gets in the organization, it becomes much more difficult.
And people appreciate going through a little more. I mean, if anybody who fogs a mirror can be hired, what does that say about you?
You're absolutely right. In fact, when we the standards of behavior I talk about, once they're written and the employees all sign them, the current ones sign them, then what we do is when you come
before,
in...
Before we get in, pardon me for stopping you, I want you to remind folks where your book's available, because I want them to be able to find it.
Well, probably the best two places to get it, which are the least expensive, and is our website. In fact, we sort of joke, you can buy it on our website new, read it, and sell it on Amazon used, and you can even make $5.
Guy, what a deal.
I told him that. He said, well, give me $20,000, and it could be my most profitable thing I have. And then you can, of course, go on Amazon, where a lot of people have been purchasing off Amazon right now.
Right. So check that out, or at your local bookstores and
right.
Ask for it. It's just out, isn't it?
Right. It's been out since we've been real pleased. It came out in April, and already
okay.
We've had over 60,000 copies that have been read.
Wow.
And it's sort of amazing because, it was sort of written, and I tried to keep it real inexpensive because I do want the small business owner to be able to afford it.
Right. Well, congratulations, and we appreciate that. All right, let's get back into this thing now. Now, your idea is, and I think it's a good one, that the organization, management and employees, agree on, and you get the employees to contribute to this process, don't you? You agree on certain behaviors. You come up with what's the most important behaviors. You agree on that. You write it down, and then you live by it.
Right. What basically we do is we look and we sit down with a cross-section of employees, basically led by employees. They outline, if I'm a customer, what am I looking for in order to get great service? If I'm an employee, what am I looking for in order to have a good place to work with coworkers? And then they write down specific standards that they're looking for, and sometimes it comes over how you greet people, map finding, or like we talked about, taking people where they're going, how we follow up, if we make a mistake, how we do what you would call what service recovery, or we call it customer retention
right.
opportunities.
How about redemption?
Right.
How about if we need to redeem ourselves with a customer? Let me ask you a question. What about if at the beginning of the process, someone says this, look around us, folks. Everything that we sell can be bought 8 ways from Sunday within 2 miles of here and an infinite number of places online. The only way we can break through the clutter is if we do something really exceptional. And would that be a good place to start?
Absolutely. It's sort of like, when they think of their own shopping experiences, what's been a time when they've actually had their socks knocked off? What are the things that have been done for them? Whether it's a phone call when they get home saying, how is this? Does it work? Whether they've keep the name of someone who hadn't been in for a while to give them a call to make sure, is everything still working well? It's that whole service element that doesn't just happen when a person's in the store. It happens before they get there and after they leave, because what you're trying to build, of course, is a lifelong relationship with that individual.
Well, another thing that this does is this helps employees to understand the standards for how they treat each other, too, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And what happens is once they agree to them, we sort of do a ceremony. It's a rollout. And the nice part for a boss is the boss doesn't say, here's my rules.
Mm-hmm.
He says, here are the employees that have been involved in this. And we send out a draft, and all the employees get it. We had a company on the west side of Chicago that had 1,000 employees, and they sent this draft. And over 500 made little comments on it and sent it back. And then they roll out, these are the agreed standards, and every employee signs the standard. It says, here's how I agree to live, and if I'm when I work here.
How do you enforce this and maintain it?
It's pretty simple, because what happens, and we have copies of these even you can get on our website, what happens is they're pretty specific. Employees do not like vagueness, so they don't say have a good attitude. They say, have a good attitude, and here's what a good attitude means.
Mm-hmm.
It means that when you answer the phone, you give the name of the department, you give your name, and you say, how can I help you? In fact, before you leave a customer, you just don't walk away. You say, before I leave, are there any other questions that I can answer?
Mm.
And so you get that closure. And so it becomes very specific. So it's actually quite easy to monitor. And we have, you'd love to have all employees successful. But when I ran my own organization, I did have employees who lost their job of not following the standards. They go through the due discipline
mm-hmm.
process. And even when the employees went to a legal-type backing, they never won because they had signed an agreement that said, mm-hmm. oh, I'm going to live in
right.
this organization.
Quint, I've got to wrap it up for today. Will you come back another day?
Oh, I would love to. I'd love to talk about how to hire.
Well, let's do that. Thank you for being here today, Quint Studer. We'll see you next time. Have a great holiday. Quinn Studer, ladies and gentlemen, the book is called Hardwiring Excellence, wherever books are sold. Quick break, 29 after. I'll be right back with our good friend Barbara Weltman. The show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.